Our special guest today is income expert John Dobbs, editor of Forbes Pivot and Investor. How are you doing today, John?
I'm good, thanks, Stephen. How are you?
Very good. Underlying your investment strategy is an emphasis on dividends. Could you explain why income plays such a pivotal role in your approach to a long-term portfolio?
Certainly. There are periods of time in the stock market when you don't have much appreciation in stock prices. You can look back from 2000 through about 2012. The S&P 500 was flat in terms of price appreciation. But you would have earned some return if you had just collected the dividends. Now, there's three ways you can make money in stocks. Either the earnings of the company go up, the multiple that the market's willing to pay for those earnings goes up, or there's cash that you get from owning that company's stock, which is, of course, dividends. And like I pointed out, there's periods of time when you will not earn anything, maybe for a decade or more, if you're looking just for price appreciation and you own stocks that do not pay dividends. But if you do get dividends, 3-4% a year, let's say, you know, that compounds nicely. And that's the whole name of the game for long-term investing, is the keeping the compounding effect going.
Now, going hand-in-hand with these dividends, you equally emphasize a stock's valuation. Could you explain how both income and value work together in your strategy?
Well, if you owned a bunch of dividend stocks that were priced too high, those dividends would count for little in terms of the stock price decrease that you would encounter when the market more fairly appraises the value of those companies. So what I want to see is a company that's trading at valuations in terms of price to earnings, price to sales, price to book value, price to free cash flow that are less than the valuations on average for the past 5 years. So those are four of the criteria that I use, the price to sales, price to book value, price to earnings, and price to cash flow, looking for discounts to the five-year average multiples there. I also require the stocks to produce operating cash flow, a positive operating cash flow over the past 12 months, because that's where you get your dividends paid from. Actually, they're paid from free cash flow, but if you don't have operating cash flow, your free cash flow probably will be low too. I also look for revenue growth, and I kind of excommunicate any kind of stocks that have had sketchy dividend history, dividend decreases or suspensions. Maybe after about a 10-year period, or 8-year period, you can reevaluate those. A lot of companies did cut dividends in the 2008-2009 recession, but you want to look for companies that are fairly valued, because you can't make money in the stock market, much of it anyway, if you're buying stocks that are too expensive, even if you're relying on the dividend income.
Now, you look for income opportunities across a wide spectrum of investment vehicles, from individual stocks to REITs to MLPs. In the current environment, are any of these specific markets places where you're particularly finding compelling value?
Well, MLPs, the Master Limited Partnerships, which many of which are pipeline companies that transport either natural gas or crude oil derived products, they took a big spanking in the past 2 years, no doubt. There's a index called the Alerian MLP Index. You can trade it the AMLP. And you can pull up a two-year chart and see the gory history there. I think it was down as much as 75% from its highs. It's come back somewhat. Nonetheless, there are companies that are engaged not so much in the speculative business of taking crude oil out of the oil fields of places like North Dakota and other places where fracking is going on. Companies that transport natural gas. Natural gas is at, you know, 20-year lows, so power plants that are able to run on that stuff are locking in long-term contracts. And they need to have natural gas supplied to them. One company, Spectra Energy Partners, is in that business. We currently have them in the portfolio. You're getting a 5.1% distribution yield, and it's trading at discounts, substantial discounts to its 5-year average price to sales, price to earnings, and price to free cash flow multiples of the last 5 years. So it meets our criteria. AmeriGas Partners is another one. That's APU. 8.5% dividend yield. So we do have a few MLPs. Another one is Tesoro Logistics Partners, TLLP. That's a 7% yield. And they move gasoline around the country and some gas, some natural gas. So, you know, and then, of course, you've got your old, you know, beaten down blue chips. Not too many beaten down these days, I guess, but IBM is one of them, Big Blue. IBM trading below $150 is a very compelling stock for a lot of reasons. It's been through the jungle before, and it's emerged successfully. You're getting a 3.8% dividend yield. It's a century-old company. Warren Buffett likes it. Not that he's infallible completely, but it's usually a good mark that the Oracle of Omaha shares your appraisal of value. So we do see a lot of home building stocks. There's one called MDC Holdings we've got in the portfolio. We've got some small cap stocks. One is Douglas Dynamics. They make snow plows out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The ticker symbol is very appropriate, PLOW. You're getting a 4.1% yield out of Douglas Dynamics. So if you apply this, you know, which is a pretty straightforward formula, companies that are producing cash flow and that trade at valuations that are less rich than they've traded at in the last several years, you know, you're probably going to be right more often than you're not, and we have been.
Now, for the more sophisticated investor, you also offer a newsletter called Forbes Premium Income Report. Could you share an overview of this service and the types of opportunities that you uncover there?
Yeah, sure. What we do in that newsletter, Steve, is we take a look at the market, find stocks that we would not mind owning. So there's a lot of overlap in the stocks that we choose for the Forbes Dividend Investor. And we'll either sell puts or we will do buy rights. So selling puts puts you on the hook, literally, to buy stock at the strike price at expiration if the stock price is below the strike price. So recently we did one. There's a company, Chico's, FAS. They're a women's clothing retailer. They also operate the White House Black Market stores, based out of Fort Myers, Florida. Chico's has been a great growth stock for a long time, but it's kind of stalled. It came down from $18. Anyway, just above $12, we sold four contracts of $12 puts for 30 cents apiece. Each contract is 100 shares, represents 100 shares of stock. So we picked up $120 in options premium for taking on the obligation to buy Chico's at $12. Actually, this one was just for a two-week trade. The options expire on May 20th, so we'll see where that is. If Chico's is below $12, we've got to buy it at that price, subtracting the options premium that we got. We'd own it at $11.70. So that's a way to own a stock cheaper than the market has it today. The other way to do it is to buy a stock and then sell calls. Calls are just kind of the opposite of puts, in that you are obliged to sell the stock if it trades above the strike price at expiration. A great way to do this, to really maximize your income, to get a multiplier effect, is to buy a stock, sell call options against it, and while you're in that period of waiting for the calls to expire, you also get a dividend. So that's really nice to do if you look at when the stock is going ex-dividend, maybe about a month before, month and a half before you buy it, in anticipation of getting that dividend, and write a call option slightly out of the money so that you can get that dividend. You could be called away early. You could be assigned early. That's when the holder of that call option decides he wants to buy that stock at the strike price, which is his right until expiration, because he wants to get the dividend. But if that's the case, often you're not really crying in your beer because you're getting taken out at the strike price, and it's a nice two-month return. And you do this again and again and again, and if you sell these covered calls on stocks that you already own, you know, you could generate, in theory, a monthly paycheck, four dividends per year, and then if you do a month and a half long trades, eight times a year, 4 + 8 = 12, you're getting 12 little paychecks from your stock. So that's the way, you know, it's like the ground game in football. You know, you're fighting for every 2-3 yards, but you're making positive yardage each play, as opposed to, you know, trying the 80-yard long bombs. Not that Tesla and stocks like that won't eventually probably be very enriching, but this kind of an approach where you look for cheap stocks that pay dividends and then look for opportunities to sell options against them, you know, it's a very hands-on approach, but the results over time pay off.
Again, our guest is John Dodds of the Forbes Dividend Investor, as well as the Forbes Premium Income Report. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Stephen.